So the Epistle for Passion Sunday is taken from Hebrews chapter 9. Brethren, Christ being come a high priest of the good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his holy blood, entered once into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and of oxen and the ashes of a heifer being sprinkled sanctify such as are defiled, to the cleansing of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who by the Holy Ghost offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And therefore he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of his death, for the redemption of those transgressions which were under the former testament, they that are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 8. At that time Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "Which of you shall convince me of sin? If I say the truth to you, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth the words of God. Therefore you hear them not, because you are not of God." The Jews therefore answered and said to him, "Do not we say well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I have honored my Father, and you have dishonored me. But I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Amen, amen, I say to you, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my word, he shall not taste death forever. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father that glorifieth me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. And if I shall say that I know him not, I shall be like to you, a liar. But I do know him and do keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am." They took up stones therefore to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Please be seated. All you who thirst, come to the waters. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we have come to Passion Sunday. We've entered into Passion Tide, and as you can see, I want to thank those that came to hang the purple veils, ironing them and putting them up, and preparing us for this Sunday. It is a Sunday that now we are in mourning. Purple signifies to us the color of penance. It is something that helps us to focus on the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, hence the name of this Sunday. We focus on his Passion and what he will undergo for all of us, the sufferings that he will undergo in order to redeem mankind. And yesterday's Mass, it's a Mass that is traditionally a day of ordinations. Several young men were made subdeacons, where they take the step in giving their life to God. It is the first of the major orders, where they take a vow of chastity. And so it is a day of ordination. And that is why there is that reference about coming to drink of the water if you are thirsty. You come to the fountain with our Lord Jesus Christ. And by coming there, that is where you gain then this understanding of the life that we should live. And that's the thing that we have to try to examine at this time now. We've entered the two last weeks of Lent. We would say the two most important weeks of the liturgical year, because it prepares us for the greatest feast, which is Easter. And so that reference of those that are thirsty, that they come to drink the water, we also see that, whether in the liturgy or then in sacred scripture. It is in reference to this living water is grace, life everlasting. And that is what we are looking for, that is what we're trying to gain to get to heaven. So So as I mentioned in the liturgy, you find it with, as I mentioned, Sicut Servus, the stag that is drinking the living waters, that is coming to this hidden fountain, the hidden fountains of grace for the soul. But then also we have the reference in sacred scripture, the famous story of the Samaritan woman at the well, to where our Lord asked her for water. One, by speaking to her, was somewhat taboo between the Jews and the Samaritans. I've mentioned that in times past, the Samaritans being kind of these people that were downtrodden, looked down upon. And yet we have our Lord going to her and asking for water, but it was for a purpose behind that. And so our Lord asked for the water from that, and so she even immediately asked, why are you even talking to me? And so our Lord carries on this discourse with her. He carries on this discourse to help her to see of what she should be striving for, of what she should be looking toward. And so he goes through and he talks to her and he mentions to her, I can give you water that if you drink of that, you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again because it is the water of life everlasting. It is the water that we are striving for, is the water that we are trying to gain. And so that's what he references to her. And so she immediately says, well, I would like some of this water then. And maybe too much she is still looking in the natural sense. Yes, of having something that will quench the thirst, that you would never be thirsty again. But our Lord is trying to raise her above than just the natural level. Because he talks and refers to her life. She sees that he is a prophet. He can understand, he can see her life. And so therefore she immediately, because of that, she references the fact that he must be the Messiah, the one to come, just because he knows her past. But our Lord is trying to bring her forward, to help her to see through the graces and the gaining of these graces, that is how then she will save her soul. And so she immediately tells the people around, she said, the Messiah has come because he was able to tell me my past. But our Lord is trying to get her to see more than just that. That he's trying to bring her and draw her to this fountain, this living water, this life of grace, to get her out of the life that she has lived, and then to help her so that she therefore can save her soul. And that is the offering that is given to all of us. That is why then there is the references to this water that is given to us. All those that thirst, come. Come to the living water. Gain this water that you need. And be fortified by that grace that is given to you. And so as I say, this is something that is going to be a reference of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who provides this water to us. He is this hidden fountain. And that is what we must drink from, to strengthen us, to fortify us, to take in, to meditate upon. But that's why I say these two references to that idea, the stag drinking from the hidden fountain, but then in sacred scripture, the woman at the well. That our Lord is trying to help her to see that. He didn't need any water. He didn't need to drink from that. But he was trying to get her to understand that. And trying to help her to move on. And so that's why it is interesting to see how this Mass that is normally attributed to ordinations, of how that at the very beginning, the Sicientes, those who thirst, and it is in reference, obviously, to the ordinands, because of they are going to this hidden fountain to give their lives, to sacrifice their lives to God. But then truly it also applies to all of us that we too are truly like the stag that goes to drink the water. That we have to be that, we have to understand that we are going to be fortified by God. And that is why I've encouraged you during this time period of Lent to be familiar with the Masses of Lent and seeing the spirit that it gives to us. Not only this, the spirit of penance and mortification and sacrifice that we must have during this time, But even then, to advance further than that, to advance toward a life of virtue, to take in this living water and to live this life, and to keep that life always with us. Not for us, in a sense, to draw thin on the water that is given to us, or that we thirst. I mean, granted, you can thirst in different ways. There can be a thirst that you have nothing to drink, and that you're starving for that. Or there can be something that just gives you that fortification that you have. And that is the reference that is given to us, that is the mention that is we're striving for. Because if you look in the gospel of today's Mass, our Lord says, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever. And that is where the Jews cannot understand that. How can he say that? Abraham, our fathers, the prophets, they have all died. How can he say that? But they're looking again in just a material sense, a natural sense. They're not looking beyond that. And that is what our Lord again tries to help them to see and to understand. By referencing the fact that Abraham, he saw my day and he rejoiced in my day. They don't understand it because they take our Lord's words too literally. They fail to see how our Lord is trying to raise them above just this natural world. That we are not meant just for this natural world, we are meant for the next. And so he's trying to draw them out of that. So if any man keep my word, he shall never see death forever. If you keep our Lord's words. And then our Lord goes through and talks about that. I honor my Father and you dishonor me, so therefore you dishonor the Father. And our Lord has harsh words for them by calling them liars to say, if you think that you are a follower of our Lord or a follower of Almighty God, you are a liar. So our Lord gives them very strong words to try to get them to see. Because they are blind. They're blind and they don't understand that. And so therefore for us, we know, we have heard the word of God, we understand what we must keep. And then there becomes the battle with weak human nature. But that is why we fortify ourselves with this living fountain, drinking from this to strengthen us. It is grace. It is grace that will ultimately bring to us life everlasting, God willing. But that is what we must try to understand, especially in this time period. As I say, this whole idea of Passion Tide. It is to direct our attentions to the passion and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to help us to see what our Lord suffered for us and what we must try to do to repay that to Almighty God. To repair our own sins, the sins of mankind around us. That is what we must try to do during this time period. To follow our Lord on the way of the cross. To follow him in the cross is the trials in order to gain the triumph of the resurrection. And so that is the obligation that we have. That is what we must try to do during this time. And as I say, if it's been a hard Lent for you, or if it's not been a fruitful one of yet, well, you have the two most important weeks left to really focus on the passion of our Lord, to really focus on what he suffered for us. And that is then to try to give back to Almighty God. Through our penances, through our sacrifices, keeping the true spirit of Lent. Because too often we lose sight of that. We're weak, and so therefore we give in, and then we just give up. But renew that spirit now. Renew the spirit that you must have these final 2 weeks to prepare your soul well for the great feast of Easter. To think about that idea and the understanding of drinking from this hidden fountain. Many of the desert fathers, the spiritual authors, they've written so much on that. Because it is a source of meditation for us. We think of a fountain, we think of drinking from it, we think of all of these things. It is something that is so natural to us. But it can be something that is applied to the life of grace. that the sacraments, the church gives to us this fountain, and it flows into our soul if we are open to it, if there's no obstacles to it. But if we put up the obstacles, it is like building a dam before the water that is flowing. It stops it. It keeps it from moving. And that is the danger if we don't understand that, or if we're caught in our sins. And that is why the encouragement to make a good confession during this time, as I mentioned with Holy Week, there'll be endless opportunities on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I mean, to take advantage of these things for your soul. And obviously we have the Easter duty to perform, running from the first Sunday of Lent all the way to Trinity Sunday. And that's an obligation we have before the eyes of God, or it's a mortal sin. And so therefore, to try to take advantage of this time that is given to us, and then also to look and see what our Lord has said, the assurance he gave to the Samaritan woman, drink this water and you will never thirst again. And so she has a natural reaction, well, I want some of the water then. But we have to be raised to the supernatural level of that. Yes, I want to drink that water because I will live forever. I will never thirst again. And so therefore, that is what we must meditate upon, to focus on the words of our Lord. Focus on his words that he gives to us about this idea of the hidden fountain, the graces that are there, hidden because there are so many people blind to it, so many people don't want to see it, don't want to accept our Lord. And so that is why the reference to being hidden to that. But we know the truth to that. We understand the truth. We accept that truth, God willing. And by accepting that, we must live that. Because it's empty words to our Lord if we don't live that life. And that's something to truly meditate upon, how our sins have caused so much of the passion of our Lord, the suffering that he underwent, because of us. And so therefore, we can rectify that by making good confessions, by sacrificing, by doing penance during this time frame. These last 2 weeks, yes, but there is still time for us. There is still an opportunity for us. And so to take advantage of that. And so that's following the words of our Lord. Yes, if any man keep my word, he shall not see death forever. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.